The BBC presents My Music, a radio panel game devised by Edward J. Mason and Tony Schreier. And here's Steve Race to introduce the teams.
Hello once again. It's my pleasure to welcome you to yet another edition of My Music, a panel game in which I ask musical questions. You, the audience, know the answers, but the official replies are supplied by, on the one hand, Ian Wallace and Dennis Norden, and on the other hand, David Franklin and Frank Muir. First, as usual, some straightforward musical identification. Ian Wallace, who composed this and what does it come from?
My sense of choreography would tell me that that is a gavotte.
Yes.
You'd accept that?
Yes, I would love to accept that, yes.
And I don't know the piece it comes from, but I think I know the composer. I think this is Prokofiev.
Yes, very good.
It's those lovely sort of offbeat sounds.
Yes.
It's a bit like... The only Prokofiev I've ever had anything closely to do with was an opera called The Love for Three Oranges, and there's things in it rather like that, but I know it doesn't come from that.
No, it's
but
from...
If you would like to give me one mark and tell me what the other was, I'd be interested to know.
Well, I'll give you one and a half, because it's the gavotte from the Classical Symphony by Prokofiev, and you got everything except Classical Symphony, so one and a half, with pleasure.
Yeah, thank you.
Got you started. Dennis, this comes from a lesson scene in a film. Who was the pupil?
This comes from, I think it's your favourite film, isn't it?
It is, yes.
It comes from Singing in the Rain.
Yeah.
It was actually written by that marvellous man called Roger Edens.
Yeah.
It was the only song he wrote in the film. And it was Gene Kelly and Donald O'Connor scene.
The pupil was...
Was Donald O'Connor.
No, the pupil was Gene Kelly, actually. And
that's what he meant, actually.
Donald O'Connor came in and... Gene Kelly was having a lesson in voice production and enunciation, and Donald O'Connor came to join him.
Yeah.
But you certainly got the right names. Gene Kelly and Donald O'Connor. Moses Supposes, the song from Singing in the Rain, 2 marks. David, this is a singing lesson, too. Who sang this scale passage in London?
We're not going to hear any voices.
No, no.
All my life I will remember loving you.
Yes.
I'm tempted to say it, the first performer of the soprano part was Frank. But it wouldn't be true.
No, the last.
Evelyn Lay.
Evelyn Lay, yes. Because it was in the show...
Oh, Bittersweet.
Bittersweet. In the 1929 His Majesty's Theatre premiere of Noel Coward's Bittersweet. Now, Miss Sarah, if you please, sing a scale for me. And that was the scale. In the New York production, by the way, Iverson Tellier. You got 2 marks, David. Frank, Dennis had a lesson scene from the film, so here's another one for you. Who is teaching whom in this song?
Roll your eyes and heave a little sigh. Grunt and groan like you're about to die. Oh!
All yours, Frank.
I recognise a singer. It's that kind of non-singing that you get in films. The singer, I'm probably quite wrong here. Jane Pearl has a superb voice, but...
She made more out of singing than you ever made out of singing. So non-singing.
A financially successful voice. But it doesn't seem to have any power. That's why I remember her. It seems to be a very tiny voice, which is amplified.
You've got 1 mark out of 2. Jane Powell teaching whom?
Oh, I don't know that. No, I don't remember
Does your colleague know?
No,
I doubt it very much.
Well, that's one mark out of two for you. Jane Powell was instructing her six brothers-in-law in Seven Brides for Seven Brothers, the song called Going Courting. Let's have a quick check on some musical definitions. Ian, what is a cabaletta?
Cabaletta is when an aria sort of gets sort of treading on the gas a bit.
Nicely put.
You sing your first bit, which is all rather legato, maybe, and then suddenly the music sort of goes and then you go into the quick bit.
Hmm. That's very nice, yes, for a mark. I'll give you three definitions I have here just for completeness sake. A short aria or simple reiterated rhythm with optional repeats, as in Rossini. A song in rondo form with a galloping triplet rhythm. And its 19th century meaning, the final section of an elaborate operatic duet or aria, as in Verdi. And you have a mark. Dennis, can you give me an example of a two-part invention?
Shakespeare's Henry the Fourth.
do nicely.
Musically?
Well, yes.
Yeah. Musically, it would be something like a kind of little doorstop arrangement on a trombone to keep it in one piece, and say the slide coming right out and it becoming a two-part
invention. That would do equally well. Yes. Bach, in fact, you've got a mark anyway. Bach wrote several two-part inventions, for instance. One that starts like that, plenty of others. It's a short contrapuntal piece for two parts or two voices. David, if you see the letters VS on a piece of music, what do you do and how do you do it?
It's the proof, the ultimate proof that this program, in the end, is educational. I've seen VS on scores for years. And about 5 years ago, Steve asked me what VS meant. And I didn't know. I went straight home and I looked it up. And I can now tell you, I've been saving this up for 5 years. Versa subito or turn over quickly.
Well, I've got volte subito. Certainly turn over quickly is right. You get a mark, Dave, and I'll see you again in another 5 years' time. Frank, what has five courses and frets?
It's a diet-conscious Lord Mayor's wife at the Guildhall.
Very likely, I should think. Or?
Alternatively, is it a musical instrument?
Yes,
well, frets. It's a fretted musical instrument. It's a banjo or
five
ukulele
courses.
Or...
Five course.
So what's a course?
Well, I should imagine it's five groups of strings.
Mm. Mandolin. No.
No, that wouldn't have
it's
five.
It's got groups, but more than five.
You're on the right, very much on the right lines, though. A course is a set of two strings tuned to the same note. Frets, as you know, are the bars of wood or metal marking the note positions at the fingering end.
You've got that bit.
Five courses limits it.
It's not a mandolin with some of the strings broken. So having a plectrum with a rather sharp foredge.
Let's call a halt to this. It's the lute. Has five courses and frets. You've got a half a mark there after one. Fair enough. Sometimes the words of songs include lists of people or lists of things.
Lists
if you can spot
going.
The error in the list I give you. Ian, there's one that's wrong in this list. Trumpet, clarinet, big trombone, fiddle, cello, big bass drum, bassoon, flute, euphonium.
That comes from Katie Moss's little hit, The Floral Dance.
Yes.
Now, wait a minute.
Which was wrong?
Can you tell me the first one again? It's fiddle, cello, big bass drum, bassoon, flute, and euphonium.
I'm making the most of his chance all together in the floral dance.
I can't give you it again because you should have been listening the first
fiddle,
time.
Fiddle, cello,
very
big bass
easy.
Drum. So that was, you put in a trombone, I think.
No, there's a line before that. No, you're thoroughly confused.
I can't give
you the mark.
Wait a minute. Oh, yes, you can. Yes, you can. Wait a minute. I felt so lonely standing there, but I could only
say... Oh, no, 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 no I can't have this at all.
Sing down the lane, feel I know it's not going to pay with that. Sit down, but in the bedding song, and do the north wind dancing down the pond. We danced the band of the Curious Stone with the cornet, fiddle, and big trombone, fiddle, cello, big bass drum, bassoon, flute, and euphonium.
This is where we came in.
Yeah. Have you done?
Yes.
Yes. No marks. What I said was trumpet, clarinet, big. I should have said cornet, clarinet, yes, big trombone.
Yes.
I said cornet, trumpet instead of cornet, and you really don't get a bar.
Well, I've never worked so much for so little.
Never. In
however, I'm not going to get booked for dissent.
Dennis, again, an error in the list I give you. Threads, patches, ballads, songs, snatches, dreamy lullaby.
A thing of shreds and patches.
Shreds, isn't it? Shreds.
No, shreds is all right.
A thing of shreds and patches.
Ian's being no help to you.
Shreds.
You did a thr. We should have done a shr.
Yes. I thread instead of shring. You're right. Yes, I said threads instead of shreds. And you get a mark, Dennis Norden. Right. Mistake in this list. David.
Concentrate. Ready? Concentrate.
You ready? Right. Six geese a-laying, five gold rings, four turtle doves, three French hens, two calling birds, and a partridge in a pear tree.
Now you crossbred the turtle doves and the calling hens. It's got to be four calling hens.
No,
three,
you're getting confused yourself.
Four calling birds, that's three best. French hens, two turtle doves.
Yes, that's right. I interposed the turtle doves and the calling birds. You're quite right. In the 12 Days of Christmas, you've got a mark. Frank. Bill Brewer, Jan Stewart, Peter Gurney, Ari Davey, Daniel Whidden, Ari Orp, Uncle Tom Cobley, and all.
Oh, palpable. A palpable myth.
Yes. Well, who was wrong?
It's Peter Gurney. It's with Bill Brewer,
no, you're
Jan
wrong.
Stewart, Peter Gurney, Peter Davey, Daniel Whidden, Ari Orp.
So which one did I get wrong? You've got
Peter
only half
Peter
a mark.
Peter Davey. Right. You got the Peter wrong. You said Winifred Davy or something.
It wasn't the answer you gave first. Shall I give him half a mark?
Well, it's the first Peter, then. Peter Erwog.
Half a mark. Well, the audience thinks. Half a mark it is, right. You got it eventually. Peter Davy, I said Harry Davy. But then you'd given us a false clue with Peter Gurney. And that means that leading at the moment by one mark are Ian Wallace and Dennis Norden. Drop of nostalgia. The 1950s began with Contiki and Call Me Madam. They ended with The Wastemakers and A Taste of Honey. Also, though, a great decade for popular songs and million-selling discs. Let's see how well you remember the musical 1950s. Ian, who was this?
Per te e presto per amar. Per te e presto per sognare.
That was not one of his million-selling records, but the voice, unmistakably, of Ian.
That well-known Italian singer, Frankie Lane.
Frankie Lane, yes, that's your mark. Dennis, there were three million-sellers of this next song. Can you name two of them?
Dean Martin did it.
Dean Martin, that's one.
And the composer, whose name was Domenico something.
Yes.
I don't know what it's saying. This was a funny thing because Vallari came after at a period when quite a lot of lesser-known foreign songs had been brought back by holiday-making music company executives. And I was on holiday in Italy, and I heard this played somewhere, and I said, is it possible to get a record? Is possible a record, you know? And I got a record, and I rang up a man called Bill Phillips, who's a... I said, I've got the most marvellous Italian song. He says, you know, and I took it round and played. He says, switch on the wireless. And we were being assailed by it. I was about 4 months late. I was the man who
discovered Valari when it was already on top of the British hit parade.
You've got one of the 3 million. The record we heard there was the Kirby Stone Four. There were 3 million sellers. You've got one of them, Dean Martin. Can you get your other half, Mark?
Domenico somebody.
Well, give you half a mark, shall we, for that. Domenico Modugno, who composed it. Mm. The other one was Bobby Rydell. That was a later million seller in 1960. You have half a mark out of one. David, try this unaided. Whose voice?
If your heart it seems to hang around too long, and your blues keep getting bluer with each song.
I know two things about this record. One is that it's not very nice. And the other is that it was made by Johnny Ray, wasn't it?
Thank you, yes. Yes. The song, Cry, was written by a night watchman at a dry cleaner's.
It's the fluid.
Yes. It goes to show none of us should give up, doesn't it? Your mark, David. Frank, this comes from a top seller of 1957. Can you remember his name and, for your other half mark, his much-publicised sporting achievement?
That's cool.
Just because my composure sort of slips the moment that your lips meet mine, chances are you think my heart's your valentine.
With Johnny Mathis.
Johnny Mathis is right for half a mark. Now, his much publicised sporting achievement.
Not much publicised.
No. Guaranteed to be mentioned on almost every record sleeve of his.
Ah, yes.
And fan magazines.
Come on, this is your area. Is David.
It? Yes?
Curious.
There's a bit of a numbed silence.
Yes, I don't think you know. I'll have to tell you, he established a new high jump record at San Francisco State College.
Well, bully for him.
Which is not bad for such a small chap. A very small fellow. You get half a mark out of one. I think I really must tell you that in 1957, in a nightclub in San Francisco called the Black Hawk, I was faintly well-oiled with some friends and American acquaintances. I was offered a piece of Johnny Mathis.
Which bit?
Which I was too drunk to take up, as a matter of fact. Later on, of course, if I'd taken up the piece, I wouldn't be here bothering, wasting my time talking to you lot.
I find something curious, this nostalgia thing, whereby the eras that we get nostalgic about are getting closer and closer. I mean, we're now nostalgic about 1957. We'll soon get to a stage where we have a nostalgia programme about last Tuesday.
And you should know, you'll be chairing it, won't you?
It's in one era and out of the other.
Here's a round which you have a 50% chance of getting a mark, because it's the answer is simply true or false. Ian, the composer of the famous trumpet Voluntary shot himself while mentally deranged. True or false?
True.
Yes. Do you know his name?
Yes, I do. I think the poor man made away with himself, because it was this awful thing that his name was Jeremiah Clark, and everybody kept referring to it as Purcell's trumpet Voluntary, and he couldn't stand it any longer.
Kept hearing it announced on the radio as being by somebody else. You have a mark. It was true. Jeremiah Clark did. Dennis Norden, true or false? George M. Cohan was born on the 4th of July.
I'm a real live nephew of my uncle. Well, he said so. I mean, if anyone's lying, it's only him. I'm not imputing it to you at all.
No, that's
yes,
not
I will. I will take his word.
Yeah, that's not true. If anybody's lying, it wasn't me and it wasn't him. It was his father. He was born on July the 3rd, 1878, but his show business father registered his birth date as the 4th of July because it sounded better, American Independence Day. Oh. So, false by a day.
My son was born on the 4th of July.
Yeah,
no fiddling either, he was. He's not very rich, though.
David Franklin, true or false, the river Shenandoah, famous in sea shanty, flows into the Missouri.
This is dead craft. You asked me this 5 years ago, and I think last time I said that it did.
Yes.
With equal confidence I say tonight that it's a dirty fascist lie. It doesn't.
False, as many listeners wrote to point out at the time. Yes, it runs into the... Do you know what it runs into?
Oh,
didn't look that up, did you?
The Potomac
River, yes, that's right.
Well,
so you get a mark.
You win some and you lose some.
Frank, true or false, you can blow a bugle call on a mouth organ, but you can't suck a bugle call on a mouth organ. True or false?
True.
Yes.
Because you can, but the thing about a mouth organ is that when you suck it, it wheezes a different note.
Yes, that's
right. I'll sing from the accordion.
I'll show you on my mini keyboard here. You can
don't put your mouth to that.
You can blow these notes on a mouth organ. So you could do. But you get these notes if you suck. And that doesn't sound like a bugle call. I hope that's thoroughly opaque. For this final or post-penultimate round... No, penultimate. Yes, post-penultimate round. The answer to each question is to be found in the words of a song, which kindly sing for your marks. Passing over Ian until the end, we begin with Dennis. Dennis, your sibling, Catherine, how would you describe the enviable qualities of her dancing? Sibling.
Is it from Kiss Me, Kate?
No.
Enviable qualities...
of her dancing.
Kate.
Enviable.
Ah, yes.
Sing,
I wish I could shimmy like my sister Kate. She shivers like a jelly, upon a plate.
That's singing?
Well...
yes. All right, you get two marks. I wish I could shimmy like my sister Kate. David. Oh, you're coughing already for it. Clearing the throat.
And you know that's better than my singing.
David, when does the working day start for an orderly?
At 6 o'clock of the shiny morn we start our little day, and all day long we're making meals and clearing them away. It's orderly squish and orderly tush and orderly tea this way. Oh, who would be an orderly upon an orderly day?
Yes, two marks, thank you.
Yes.
Frank, he's a nice enough chap, but he's always so far distant. Any idea who?
He's a nice little fellow, I know by his voice, but he ain't very so far away. Da, 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 da. Little Sir Echo, how do you do?
Hello.
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 Yes. Two marks to you. Ian, at the sight of what member...
William Tell.
Ian, at the sight of what member of the pig family do people run in an easterly direction and other directions as well?
Oh, that's one of the mammalian
it's a gift,
creations
isn't it,
of my friends Michael Flanders and Donald Swan. The chap who boars for the animal kingdom.
Yes, you got it.
The wild boar. And all the animals and the human beings have to go away because he's such a bore, this wild boar. He literally bores, B-O-R-E as well as B-O-A-R. And you said that flying to the east. Well, that comes at the end of the song.
Yes. A little chore.
Yes.
One of those.
There's not a 12-tone song. Yeah. And at sight of the beast, they will fly to the east, and the north, and the west, and the south, and long for the day when his head's on a tray with a lemon to stop up his mouth. And they shout as they run, he's an excellent son and a wonderful fellow, we're sure. But oh, oh, what a bore he is. What a thundering thumping down in the dumping. Thumping ball!
Thank you. Well, we hope you haven't been bored by this edition of My Music. Join us, please, for the next. In the meantime, we have to register for the first time in this series, A Dead Heat. Goodbye. Thank you.
taking part in My Music were David Franklin, Frank Muir, Dennis Norden and Ian Wallace. The questions were compiled by our chairman, Steve Race, and the program was produced for the BBC by Tony Shryan.
You've been listening to My Music from the BBC, heard each week at this time. This is the WFMT Fine Arts Network.